And this is Leslie Curran saying hello once again and welcome to the programme. I'm delighted you're tuning in and joining us, and I do hope you'll be able to stay with us for the next 15 minutes, as today the Reverend Philip Gardner is with us to Let the Bible Speak.
Today I want to read some words from the book of Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8 and the verse 20. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savour. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Amen. We trust the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. As Noah and his family stepped out of the ark, they stepped out into a very different world than the one which they had known prior to the flood. The flood had not only resulted in the destruction of every living thing upon the earth, it brought about great change in the environmental conditions of the earth. Prior to the flood, it is likely that there had not been rain upon the earth, for in Genesis 2 and the verse 6 it says, there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. Prior to the flood then, it is likely that the earth was watered by this mist. There had been no such thing as rain. That is one of the reasons surely why so many in Noah's day would not heed his message. They had never seen rain, and therefore they doubted that the world could ever be destroyed by a flood. While the earth had been watered by this mist prior to the flood, after the flood the earth would be watered by the rain. While there were great changes after the flood, the Lord made this promise at the end of Genesis chapter 8 and the verse 22, that there would be a pattern. So each year the seasons would come and go. There would be summer and winter, seed time and harvest. In every 24-hour period, there would be day and night. These cycles will continue as long as the earth remains. These words are closely linked to what we read in Genesis chapter 9, where the Lord gave the promise unto Noah that the earth would not be destroyed by a flood. The token of that promise was the rainbow. These words, while the earth remaineth, are really an allusion to the Lord's return. The earth will remain in its present condition right until the coming of the Lord. But when he comes, there will be great changes. The world will be burned by fire. The earth will be renewed. So after the Lord's return, God's people will not only have heaven as their eternal inheritance, but the renewed earth will be their inheritance as well. In Psalm 37 and the verse 11, we read, the meek shall inherit the earth. The meek are the redeemed. Those who have been redeemed by Christ's blood will inherit this renewed earth. So then there is coming a day when the earth will not remain in the form which we know it now. The Lord will return. As he does so, the earth will be delivered from all sin. Today I want us then for a few moments to consider the subject of Christ's coming. I want us to see first of all the waiting for Christ's coming. In the present time we live, in that period of time that the Lord speaks of, as long as the earth remaineth. As long as the earth remaineth present form, we are waiting for his coming. As we think of this waiting time, the time between the flood and the coming of Christ, it teaches us about the patience of God. Why has the Lord not yet come? Why does the earth still remain? Why have we witnessed one season giving way to another? Peter addresses that subject in 2 Peter chapter 3. This particular chapter really is a commentary upon the issue of the flood days of Noah. He speaks in the verse of how in the last days there will be scoffers come, and these scoffers will say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And so the scoffer will look at the fact that the earth continues. They look at the fact the Lord has not yet returned. And they come to the conclusion, since he has not come yet, that he never will come. But in the verse 9 we read these words, "The Lord not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Why has the Lord not yet come? Because he is longsuffering to usward. He is not willing that any of his chosen ones would perish. Therefore he waits that souls would be saved. As we think of the patience of God, his longsuffering, the fact that he has not yet returned, it does not give the sinner excuse to tarry. It is an additional reason why he ought to come quickly and enjoy God's salvation. In Hebrews chapter 10 and the verse 37 it says, "For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry." The Lord is most certainly coming. So in this waiting time, we are learning about the patience of God, but we are also being taught about the purpose of God. Why has the Lord not yet come and destroyed the earth? So that souls would be saved. In Genesis 8 and the verse 21, we read of how man's heart is sinful from his youth. Yet despite man's unworthiness, despite the sinfulness of the heart of man, the Lord speaks of this span of time, from the flood until his coming. The reason why there is this span of time is because in Genesis chapter 8, Noah built an altar. As Noah built that altar, it is a great picture of the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the cross, God's wrath against sinful man was appeased. As Christ gave himself for his people, God's wrath was driven back. The Lord's work of saving people for his glory is centered upon the cross. And dear sinner, today that is your only hope. The only way that you might be made right before a holy God is if you will come to God's altar, to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we've seen the waiting in Christ's coming. I want to see, secondly, the warning in Christ's coming. The whole focus of these words in Genesis chapter 8 and the verse 22, "while the earth remaineth," is that of a warning to the unsaved. You need to get to Christ. It warns of the consequences of not coming. For there is a limitation in this text. It says, "while the earth remaineth," or "as long as the earth remains." Until the Lord returns, the seed time will give way to summer, the summer will give way to harvest, the harvest will give way to winter, but only as long as the earth remains. The Lord Jesus said in his ministry, "Heaven and earth shall pass away." The seasons will cease. This is a day of opportunity, but the day of opportunity will come to an end. I want us to notice that the day of the Lord's coming is unknown. For the Lord gave no time frame here in Genesis 8. Rather, we read, "while the earth remaineth." How long will the earth remain? The Lord has not revealed that to us. In fact, the Lord has told us, "we do not know when he shall come." Matthew 24 and the verse 36. "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." The time of the Saviour's coming is unknown, but this matter is certain. He is coming, and he is coming soon. For the literal Hebrew translation of the opening words of Genesis 8 verse 22 is very instructive. These words, "while the earth remaineth," could be translated, "all the days of the earth remaineth." The period from this promise made in Genesis 8:22 after the flood, right to the Lord's return, is referred to not in terms of years, but in terms of days. While it is now about 5,000 years since the flood took place, yet as the Lord speaks of that time until now, he sees it only as a few short days. this short time period in the Lord's mind reminds us that we are allotted only a very short time to dwell upon the earth. Our time here is just like a few short days. Job said our days upon earth are as a shadow. Yet many live today as if they will live forever. Many live as if they were guaranteed 1,000 years. Dear listener, is it not time that you considered the matter of your departure? The very most that we have before we will be taken into God's great eternity is a few days. So when the Lord said, while the earth remains, he was emphasizing it will not remain forever. Your little empire will not remain forever. Your plans will not remain forever. They will all be destroyed and forgotten. As I thought upon these words, as long as the earth remaineth, I was reminded of the rich farmer in the Gospel of Luke. His harvest had been a bountiful one. The Lord in his mercy had let that man see another sowing time and another harvest. He presumed that because he had seen one bumper harvest, he would see many more. And so he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Yes, it was true, there would be many more springtimes and harvests, but he would not see them. The Lord said, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. What if that is the Lord's demand of you? What if the Lord's allotted time for you has almost come to an end? What if the Lord should come soon? Is your soul prepared for God's great eternity? Dear sinner, the only way that you can be prepared is if you will come to God's altar, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you will come and acknowledge your need before him, you need to come and depend upon the great work the Lord has done upon the sinner's behalf. The Lord has given you this time to get right before him. Will you continue to waste that time away, or will you come to Christ? Come for your soul's sake.